Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Just a quick touch base here in the form of I told you so, I told you so. I told you so. Yeah. EUWEC. I'm not saying Europeans, European leadership. Leadership in almost every country, and certainly the large, it's now just a separate organization that gets to make decisions on massive amounts of funding and where things go and prioritizations. It's not the people. Hasn't been for 50 years. It's just worse now, though. I'm going to beat the drum, but that's because some things need emphasized. And I know it's going to be good to listen to me being frustrated. Call your congressman, for gosh sakes. I've mentioned this before. I do this. Go find, if you're not comfortable calling them during the day, leave them a dang message, you know, right after the business day or right before the business day. You know, you can leave the message. You can write on their, you know, web entry pages for your message and say, are we going to stop this silly shit and stop cooperating with Europe in any way, shape, or form? So the I told you so is that here we have that the EU adopts its 18th sanctions package against Russia, targeting Russia's energy, banking, and military sectors, including lowering the oil price cap and banning imports of refined petroleum products made from Russian crude oil. So that is, if they can track back, it seems to me that these plastic toys made in China were made from Russian crude oil, then they're banning that. For the EU, this bureaucracy-based, non-elected... In the U.S., it's bad enough. But at least there's some supposed tie to the most important people, not named the deep state, having to respond to the people who voted them in. The EU is not that. It's a technocracy. It's a bureaucracy. And they make massive decisions just internally. So that's just a quick touch base. Like I said, I told you so. I told you the EU is the enemy of peace and the enemy of common sense, that they are going to take this war that has killed so many people. And I actually have to make a correction. I always get the word casualties mixed up. It's never made sense to me why casualties mean deaths plus injuries. But I guess it means taken from the fighting force. It's just odd to me when you can say killed and injured. And I'm also, it's like, what is the origin of the word casualties? Boy, being killed or maimed does not seem casual at all. I'm not saying there's not an origin. It's just, it's not coming to me. So several weeks ago, maybe 2 months back, I had mentioned in one podcast or another that reports were that there were 950,000 Russian casualties. But the thing is, I think I probably said it as dead. If not, I implied dead. And that was wrong. Because I said, you know, that's 20 times almost, 18 and a half times what was more than our stomachs can handle for Vietnam properly. And it's really that multiple sources say that 950,000 casualties. Now, those that are saying that are also saying of those, it's still huge. I mean, Vietnam was 55,000 American soldiers. I think it was 55. I know it was 50 or 55, and I believe it was 55. 55,000 soldiers. That's bad. That's bad. That's a lot of murders, in essence. You know, awful deaths. Deaths before their time. Deaths of violence. And the reports that say about a million, because now if you look, it is over a million in these same spots, or whatever. It's, you know, closer to a million in some spots. It's over a million in other spots. Those same reports say deaths are around 250,000, all right? And the Russian side, this is Russian military deaths. And that those same reports say the Ukraine isn't doing as badly, but it's still bad. It's 60 to 100,000. That's, you know, more than Russia, more than Vietnam to another, you know, 80-ish percent more than Vietnam. That's a lot. That's 350,000 troop deaths. And I put this on Telegram on my anonymous account. And I get pushback and I'm like, you know, you're missing the point. Is that that is the valid range. And the EU couldn't be more bloodthirsty. I'm going to repeat again that these two sides wanted to go to the peace table within months of the start of the war. And then everybody pushed their money into the center of the table, their chips into the center of the table, to the center of the table, and just said, you are not stopping fighting. We are funding your side, and you are not. And they kept them from going to the peace table, which is mind-blowing but true. And now Trump, while his instinct is peace, you know how you can trick him. What are you, chicken? Or again, the psyop is you keep meeting Zelensky. Zelensky somehow has a right to keep coming over. What Trump has to do, I saw he had some, you know, big committee on AI earlier this week, is say, no, I'm not having that meeting. Just what happens, you can set the presidential agenda. And there are a lot of people trying to set the presidential agenda, the meetings, what he's supposed to put his time and attention to. And he is a nearly boundless source of energy. I mean, it's amazing. Think of Biden and how we didn't hear from him. And then think of where Trump is everywhere. But when you set those 30-minute to hour-long meetings, you're setting in front of him a bunch of supposedly impressive people to reset his agenda. Like, let's say I were president, just for giggles, even though that's ludicrous, and so it's probably all-out laughter. The point is that I should be saying, I'm not having your AI meeting. We're slowing down on this. Stop. No, we're not even having the meeting, okay? I've got other priorities. So what happens is, you know, even with Trump as president, as a supposed peacemaker, it's just an onslaught of Ukraine, Ukraine, Zelensky, Zelensky. How many times has asshole Netanyahu been over to Washington just since Trump's been in office? Stay the fuck home and fight your own war. But so Trump is susceptible, I suppose a lot of us would be, to that pressure. And his instincts were right, and it's why a bunch of people wanted to elect him and vote for him. And I've admitted that I always vote libertarian, and I did not. I voted for Trump because I saw the alternative, which is a dipshit Kamala saying that Elon Musk has abused his privileges and she wanted to shut down free speech even across the platform that opened it back up so we knew what was going on. And if anything, you can say a lot of things about Trump, and I would agree that's largely chaos, but it's activity, but it's open. It's much more open. You're able to say things. And that's an important part of a free world. But his priorities have been adjusted. And then he's meeting with Zelensky. Fuck Zelensky. Your instincts were right to begin with. And he's having this mission creep and he's allowing it instead of saying, no, my principles were my principles. We have to stop this. It would be one thing for him to say. I can't remember what he said to, it's big terrorists against Russia if they don't blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, as I said before, is he getting out, is Putin able to get out the word that Eric Schwartz and his million drone swarms, I mean, I don't know what the rate of those are, but it was supposedly a million in 2024. That's what he said in 2023. Kamikaze drone swarms. Is he able to get out the word that we are being attacked massively? And again, the underlying existential crisis is still there. If I don't get the Ukraine neutral, then why would I believe these EU motherfuckers and the WEC motherfuckers, WEC folks, won't just continue to push me, to terrorize me as the only other power pivot? Now, it's interesting that they're not touching China. But remember, the off-season WEF China meeting, the one that's not over, where do they have that? In the Alps, that's not right. They have the one, it's the main one, and I can usually think of where, I'm just not thinking of it. Austria, maybe, wherever that is. And then they have the off-season one that's called something different, but it is every year, six-ish months away, and it is always in China. China's totalitarian. China's all about top-down authority. So they've got China. They're not worried about China. The WEF are communists. They're just businessmen who want to control everything from a central point. So they're not worried about China. It's Russia they're worried about, because Russia says fuck you to all that shit. And we're trying to say fuck you to all that shit, but yet we're funding the Russia-Ukraine war. I told you so. Package targets Russia's energy, banking, and military sectors. And I'll bet you the other thing that Russia's doing is they're not involved in all of these systems that are control systems. They're not taking them on. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I imagine my instincts are, well, they might have some of those systems. They're a lot less tied into these Western technocracy control systems that have tentacled their way throughout our lives and in all of our industries. And that's a problem for the World Economic Council. I've been saying it wrong. It's a World Economic Forum. I pardon. World Economic Forum. I usually get that right. So pardon me for that. Pretty sure it's a World Economic Forum. And so because they're less tied into those systems, it's probably not as easy just to cut off funding. And it's possible now, I wouldn't be surprised if the banking system is far different and not as tied into the overall make money from nothing central bank based. I was looking for the term from the Bible, usury based system. And that is about creating money with an immediate obligation for interest, as though those banking systems had the money and are taking on the risk of loaning out money that they took time and effort to save and accumulate. So I expect the banking systems are not really quite the same in Russia. It introduces a full transaction ban on 22 additional Russian banks and tightens restrictions, enhancing its accountability measures related to the deportation of Ukrainian children and extending sanctions to Belarus. These actions convey that Europe will continue supporting Ukraine until hostilities cease. So, I told you so. The EU, now they're saying until hostilities cease, but they're also saying we support the Ukraine forever, and they're funding them. And if we have a million drone swarm, and again, there's a rate that they're going through that because it's, kamikaze. But if we have that and nobody ever talks about it, except Eric Schwartz says it as proof of fact, I mean, as a matter of fact in 2023, saying, oh yeah, this is there, it's in the theater, we're using it. That's a problem of decisions that don't get put through Congress. That's the problem of lack of visibility. What you do is you take the billionaire who wants to be a more billionaire, and you just co-opt them. You co-opt them early, and that's why they became billionaires. They get into the government sector where it's not straight competition. And then you co-opt them for very big contracts. And all of a sudden, they're billionaires easily, because the very big contracts are billions and billions and billions dollar contracts. And then you're dealing with them, you're working with them. It's really, oh man, I haven't thought of this word in a while. State of democracy, it's, I think I mean socialism, but it's not really the one I'm reaching for, I don't think. Where you have the cooperation, it's not the word I'm looking for. You have the cooperation of corporate entities with the government, and through them, that's the ruling, power. That's the monarchy through that. It's not oligarchy. I'm just not thinking of the word. But that's what we've got. We just co-opt industries by having these billion and $10 billion decisions made as an individual, $10 billion move, $10 million committed, made as individual decisions instead of hundreds and thousands of decisions of individual consumers. So we have that now, and it's a bad idea because you're co-opting the potential brilliance of the free market and keeping them busy with shit that does not help us, like war. And when it does help us, it's just the table scraps of the technology that they eventually release for it to be full consumer stuff. Or worse, like Elon Musk, and I love Elon, just due to his, as I said before, he's saved free speech on the planet. But you co-opt his brilliance, even if you want to say organizational brilliance. I know I've seen some rumors that, maybe he's not even the techie, which would be interesting. I don't know about that. He's obviously very, very smart. But maybe he's not even the really techie. But if not, it's the organizational brilliance of bringing people in. But remember, they co-opted him with a subsidized industry. Without subsidized batteries, his cars aren't going anywhere. Without a subsidized, and that's what they are. I've told you this before. It's the gigaplants are all billions of dollars subsidized. The one I know of, I have an episode on this, so I could be wrong around the total, but it's a Panasonic plant that's coming in. The decision was made, as I was talking about, individual decisions. It's not the company. Does this make sense to go here? Does it make sense? Can we make money? It was a decision. I'm sure more people were involved, but by the state's governor, a one-person decision, but it's not one because federal funding was involved too, and local funding and state funding, but the plant is subsidized to the tune of something like $7 billion. I know we throw that money around like it's a penny these days, but do the math on how many small businesses barely get by and how many businesses that would help. And that's money up front. It's And since it's money up front, and it is, then you don't have any construction costs. It's like Pfizer and all of Big Pharma and the vaccine development. It was free. And also, even the location to be able to do this, it's usually a problem. In order to even be able to support the plant, the irony is they don't have the power grid, can't support it. And so it's probably similar in other places. The power grid can't support the electric battery plant, and so they must either keep older, you know, coal power plants online to support the battery manufacturing plant, and also they've got to create and upgrade lines. Because kind of like having a Tesla in your car, I'm sorry, in your garage, if all of us did that, we would not have enough of a power structure, a power grid in our neighborhoods. We can't distribute that amount of power. And so the microcosm, which is a huge instance, granted, is that the grid near the new plants they built has to be upgraded. There's nowhere near enough power nearby. And if that's here, I guarantee you most of the giga plants around the United States are that way. So Panasonic would not even have a place to build a plant. And when they pick a place in the United States, because they've been courted to build a plant, they couldn't have picked that place. Because that place wouldn't be able to support it. And none of them would be. So on top of the 7-ish billion from the 3 different sources, federal, local, state, you have the extra money that is basically subsidization, because they're the ones profiting from it, of the infrastructure being built to suit them. And then worse, the whole, if you would divide it from a giga plant and have, you know, 17 different small plants, then maybe the power structure could handle it. But to get them in, you want the biggest deal ever. The biggest deal you can get. Purely insane, man. I know I went roundabout on that. Started with that I told you so, but turned into an emphasis of we'll just call this a miscellaneous points of truth, I suppose. The other thing I'm going to say is that I remember the Epstein thing that came out. And I intended to do my Wednesday episode. I intended to have one up on Wednesday. Didn't get it done. And that episode was going to be about, you probably have all seen the minutes missing. You go, yeah, I don't know if I can trust that yet. But I didn't look into it at the time. It's been, my regular life's been really busy lately. I'm like, well, that's interesting, but I'm not going to make an episode about it. I've got to do enough research to see. And then I saw the thing about, 2 minutes and 45 seconds missing from the, quote, raw tape of the prison cell. And I went, okay, I got to do an episode on this. And I was going to do an episode on it, started the work, but then that turned into, let me look at this report around the Metro Bureau of Prisons facility in New York City where Epstein was. And I started to have fun looking into that, so just didn't finish. So a little bit longer episode's going to come from that. But briefly, you know, Wired has an individual source came to Wired saying, hey, I looked at this stuff and here's what's going on. And then Wired, actually, I guess because they're motivated against Trump, because usually they're, you know, politically techno-stupid liberal, because politically techno-stupid liberal thinks that things are Star Trek, and therefore technology equals truth and purity, when it does not, because we have this thing called politics. So they lean left because left just barks at the idea of science. Whether or not they're following logic and following rabbit trails is different. So Wired leans left, but, you know, politics and truth make strange bedfellows. And so somebody went to Wired and said, hey, it's not just a minute missing, it's 2:45. I believe that was the amount. You've probably seen that. And so Wired says, it put up a whole article about it. That's what I'll cover, plus the Bureau of Prisons report, and I'll kind of put those together. But they do that, and then Wired, rather they get that source, they get that lead, and they bring it to individual experts, and they confirm that 2 minutes and 45 seconds are gone. And so the other thing is, very quickly, this will be part of it, but I'm going to bring out more nuances when I read the whole Bureau of Prisons deal, which I'm in the middle of. The cameras were down, right? Some of the cameras were down. So the one camera we have is not the full truth. The highlighted version of this is, they say, well, from the common area, but any tier, they're on different tiers, is accessible from, you know, the stairwell. So on any given floor, you have more than one entry, you know, general entry to the tier. So if the camera itself is not on the cell, which it is not, it's the common area. And I'm trying to understand whether the first floor, second floor, whatever, and where the tier is. So I'll get to that. But point being, there's still exits to the floor, up and down, you know, to go up or to go down. And we're not looking right at his cell. So that's far different than what they put out. And I'm happy for InfoWars. I'm happy for everybody who's going to call the bluff on, you know, do we know that Biondi knew that it was cut? I don't know if we know that. But so is Biondi the liar? I think that's her name, the Pam Biondi. She may be. It may be a doing of an intelligence agency or the FBI itself or whoever helped piece that together, but it has definitely been taken from two different pieces and spliced. So it's not the raw footage, and it's not just the minute gone right before midnight. So when she said, hey, this is just due to it switches over at midnight, well, that may have been what she was told, but it's not true. I don't even think it's true because of it getting switched over at midnight would make up for the minute, but let alone the 2:45. And the Cliff's Notes on where I think this is probably heading is, has anybody checked minute to minute? Because if 2:45 is missing, then it seems there's at least one other cut that, if you were watching the seconds and the minutes, cannot be matching up. But I don't see enough detail on when it supposedly starts. But so we'll cover that. It's definitely spliced. It's definitely like Adobe Premiere was used. Wired realized that it was edited over the course of about 3.5-4 hours in an evening just after business hours. So somebody stayed late to edit that video. And if they edited it, well, what did they edit out? And it's one thing for a minute to be missing. It's another thing for another minute and 45 to be missing, because all you're doing is trying to make sure, if you're lying, you know, if this is truly suspicious for a reason, You're just trying to make sure that, nope, this is the only tape we have. Doesn't show anybody coming or going. Well, you know, 245 is an entirely different thing. I don't think they know that that is an individual cut. I think that could be more than two cuts. So what I mean by that is it might just not be 245 in one spot. It could be two different sections. One's 30, one's 215. I have no idea. But the point is, there's plenty of room there for there to be something there. So we'll cover that more. Probably go over the Bureau of Prisons, the report by the Inspector General, the Department of Justice. It is available if you want to go look at that. There is an executive summary up top. I've read that executive summary. I would just am curious as to, as with a lot of reports, it looks like it's being truthful, but I'm only about one-fifth of the way through. You'll see that the summaries at the top come to different conclusions and highlight different facts than what are fully available, you know, down in the body of the report. The body of the report is more like 60 pages or so. So I'll be covering that eventually as well. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I told you so. I told you Europe is the enemy of the people, the enemy of Make America Great Again. It's a distraction because they all know that the Russia-Ukraine war is a distraction. Trump came into office to focus on the United States. Instead, we're focusing on Israel. We're making Israel great again. Or as I said one time, make Israel more murderous again. Because even with ceasefires, they're still finding reasons to attack Gaza and other countries. And we're making Ukraine great again. And we're making world wars great again. We basically have a proxy world war. That's what we have. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I am Tyson Hartley.